Blog Talk Radio.
The marriage of classical and rock.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this Saturday's edition of Exploring Ekphrasis with Captain B2, Sim Wa, Bobby Breeden, and my trusted co-pilot, Gray Eye Smith. Hey there, Gray.
I certainly am, Bobby. How are you?
There you are. I'm splendid. I think everyone has to get off their time machine now, come back from 1971 and join us here in 2023.
Yeah.
I just love the Moody Blues. When I was trying to pick out intro music, that one leapt off the screen. I think I'll do this one.
Yeah.
So, great tune. Great. Yeah, they're eternal. I swear to God, you know, I can't get enough of them. I don't care. I got to listen to them all damn day. But we won't do that now. We have poetry to read. And we have, surprisingly enough, first time in weeks, we have carryovers. See what happens when you don't show up. We have carryovers.
Yeah.
It's all your fault.
Right.
Miss you last week. Well, anyway, we have one, two, three, four. So let us move forward briskly, and we'll cover the last four pieces from our last contest, which was the digital realism of Artem Jaboa. And let's see, we have the first one. Are you gonna post? You gonna pick and post? You do that so well.
Yep.
All righty. Okay. Okay. This is a little Eddie. Okay. Well, do you want to tackle that one, or shall I?
I'm sorry.
Oh, you've got you posted the link for the contest.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We need the first poem up there.
All right, let me drop that.
Okay. That's handy to have too. It's not a bad idea.
All right, here we go.
You know me. I throw everything up on that screen, including the intro music. There we go. There we go. Why don't you go ahead and grab that one?
Sorry, did you want me to read?
Yes, please.
Okay. No problem. We have Penguins Discovering Zero Gravity by Little Eddie. Penguins gathered together. They saw the strange weather, a forecast of icy cliff tops falling down on their flip-flops. They waddled in all directions. They tried to offer protection. Baby Penguin watched it all. Penguins told her to be cool. Chill, little penguin. It's better to chill than to freeze. If that icy cliff top falls onto us, we will be pushed inside our knees. Penguins made odd sounds. They screamed all night. The little Eskimo watched on. He could not sleep at all. He hadn't noticed the change of gravity until he looked once more. He started to free fall. End poem.
Excellent read. Excellent. And a great way to start off the evening with a little bit of levity. This is the one image where there are penguins standing around on the ice, and there are ice floes floating in the air. And I thought that was a fun one. And I was wondering who was going to do what with that. And this, I think, is a really lovely, a delightful interpretation of the prompt, and gave us a nice little backstory to go with it. I really enjoyed this one. What did you think of it?
Well, I really like the rhyme and flow to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost lyrical in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's definitely humorous and kind of sad at the same time. But, you know, it definitely tells a story in such a brevity of a poem. So, well done.
Oh, yeah.
Great job.
Yeah, I liked the whimsy. I liked the rhyme. You're right. It had a very nice cadence to it for reading. So, well done. Okay, let's continue on here. And we have next.
Okay. Sorry. I will get that up.
That has become iconic.
Yeah. There we go.
Okay. We have Around the World by Princess Alicia, and I will tackle that one. Another brevity. Excellent. Around the world in 80 days. It's where I always wanted to find my ways, to follow you across the globe, to see you wearing white robe. I love the clouds in the sky. I love the reason you ask me why. I cherish the times we are airborne. I cherish the times we are reborn. With the sunset passing us by, I see the darkest fears inside your eye. Where I ask you why, you must cry. You look at me as an answer to why. Around the world in 80 days, I'll always find you. Always. And con.
Beautiful read, Bobby.
Thank you. What did
and
you
I
think
like
of this
poem.
Piece?
I like it.
I did too.
You know, it's kind of... it's It's light and airy, but it's also got a touch of sadness, you know.
Yeah.
With the sunset passing us by, I see the darkest fears inside your eyes. Where I ask you why you must cry, you look at me as an answer to why. And then she goes to around the world in 80 days, I'll always find you, always. So, you know, it's definitely spiritual, you know, there's a connection there between her and whoever she's traveling with. And around the world in 80 days is something to, you know, that's a hell of an accomplishment. So, great job.
Yeah, I agree. It has a touch of sadness to it, of melancholy. But it also embraces the freedom of the traveling. I love the clouds in the sky. I love the reason you ask me why. I cherish the times we are airborne. I cherish the times we are reborn. I like that. That's an interesting thought, because sometimes when you go away and you come back, it's like when you come home, it's like you see it anew, and it's almost like being reborn. So very nice, exactly. Brevity, nicely done. I like the, I think, a good interpretation of the prompt, the selected prompt. So well done, Princess Alicia. And another, we've gotten in the last couple of contests, we've gotten quite a few new contributors. We have our old standards. I shouldn't call them old. our favorites, our reliable standards. But we've had some new contributors, too, and I'm delighted to see that. It's like we have Princess Alicia. I think she has, let me look at her page. She's got 17 poems, so brand new. And in our contests already, so well done. All righty, who's next?
We have Scrap Alley in the City of Misery by Sakura Falls. And I'm posting the link now.
Okay. Okay. Scrap Alley in the City of Misery. Oh, this sounds like you sink your teeth into this one. Why don't you?
Yeah, you bet. Okay. All right. We have Scrap Alley in the City of Misery by Sakura Falls. Heavier downfall clashed with the littered trash. Out from the darkness were button eyes with a loud thud and a serious crash. Tires rolled on through the silent alley. Three little animals had to fend for themselves, gathering scrap from the alleyway of their own hells, where little light reflected off their shiny eyes. Villager neglected selling short bun and fries. The home he protected was left in the dark. Little kitten would drink from the drain pipe. The ongoing flood created misery in the city. The tire stopped rolling in the deafening silence. The box left as a shelter was falling through. All the heavy rainfall soaked the boxes. Wild animals gathered near the flood. The villager knew the weather would bring mud. As the rainfall continued, the voyager was no longer home. He moved away with little words. The little animals moved into his house. They took over the store. The store was now full of rodents. Like the rat he had become for selling cheap wares, he became the sewer rat under the stairs. The rainfall got heavier as the flood grew in size, up to their necks and down to their thighs. It was becoming impossible to survive such a flood. The little animals gathered some mud, built mud pies for several minutes. They lost sight of who they were, but their friendship stayed persistent. The heavier the rainfall, the more animals they gathered, like rats to decay. The sewer was full of them. The store owner was gone for many months. The rainfall continued till the world was a flood. After several years of endless rainfall, the world was full of water once more. There was less green for animals to dance on. There was more water for fishermen to fish. The animals followed where the store owner borrowed. They knew the store owner would bring fresh food. They couldn't swim much longer. Their little arms and legs were not stronger. They sunk to the bottom of the ocean. All the city was covered in water. There were lights flickering under. it was surreal to see everything they once knew. Normality became different. The city was forever flooded under deep waters. The little animals were no longer survivors. The store owner rested on the rooftop of a skyscraper. It was the only way he could be less neck deep. But that's when he saw the Loch Ness Monster was hiding deeper in the water. Whatever emerged was not just a monster. It was the store owner's brother. With distrust in his eyes, he lit one final cigarette. He smoked it for a while and died the next day. End poem.
Excellent read. That was a long one. That was quite a yarn that Sakura Falls wrote here. And I was looking at the prompt. It is the image of it's a rainfall. You see a shop in the background. It almost looks like a butcher shop. It looks like there's sausages hanging from the ceiling. But you see three cats huddled under cardboard boxes next to a downspout gushing water. That the story that she built around this is quite elaborate, great storytelling. I mean, a lot of attention to detail, a lot of very vivid visual imagery. A lot of nice internal rhyming here too. Very sneaky. I mean, it was subtle. It kind of drifted in and out. But this was superb storytelling. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I thought so too. I found it engaging. You know, you wanted to find out what happened next, and then it really took you on a journey through this flood and all that entails. You know. The rodents took over, but then they couldn't survive. The store owner sitting on top of a skyscraper sees Loch Ness Monster, but it's not his brother.
He
smoked one
last
cigarette and died the next day.
That was an interesting twist on the end. The Loch Ness
Monster. Yeah, for sure.
But if you look at the image, it looks like it's been raining for a while. Like it looks like it's going to rain forever in that picture. It's very dismal, very dreary. And she took that image and built quite a detailed story around it. So well done, Sakura Falls, and another new writer, 9 poems on her homepage. So this one I think I may start following. She's a good storyteller. And I'm assuming it's a female because the Sakura ends with an A, which is customary in Japanese. The women's name end in A, but that's true of a lot of cultures too. Okay, well let's see, what do we got? We want one more left. Facing You by Sidewinder.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go.
And I will tackle that one. Let's see, Facing You. Okay. Here I am facing you while traveling my own trail of dreams. Although the consequences are anything by means, sometimes we see things that don't really matter. And here I am, smiling like the Mad Hatter. Maybe those consequences are catching up. Oh, bloody what? The mouse smashed the cup, and I'm laughing at this mad scene that you and I have created. For what? I don't know, but I'll tell you this. Thanks for coming to the show, a quick look in the shadow of our minds, that crazy thesis in which we can only find. End poem.
Great read. And I enjoyed it. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I enjoyed it. You know, here I am facing you while traveling my own road of dreams, my own trail of dreams. Although the consequences are anything by any means, sometimes we see things that don't really matter, and here I am, smiling like a Mad Hatter. I wonder if he's talking to himself, you know, or somebody else, because it just kind of gets that feeling that he's having an internal conversation. And,
good point. Excellent point. Yeah, I like the references to Lewis Carroll through the Looking Glass, because he called the mouse smashed the cup. And I was looking at the prompt is the one of the teacup, the very large teacup that has clouds over it and an airplane flying through it. So I thought, what an interesting and imaginative interpretation of that that particular prompt. I would never have seen that in what he's written in that particular image. My eye keeps falling on the airplane, and with him it was the teacup. That's why I love reading this stuff. Everybody sees something different, but I like this. Here I am facing you while traveling my own trail of dreams, although the consequences are anything by means. Sometimes we see things that don't really matter. And again, the references to Lewis Carroll. Very nicely done, Sidewinder. Thank you for a great piece of writing. And that finishes us up from the last contest. And now we get to go into the psychological perceptions of Igor Morsky. I'm trying to pull it up on my screen here. There we go. The psychological perceptions of Igor Morsky, Polish artist. I was stunned at the response that this artist evoked. I mean, it filled up. We filled up. We got 19 contributions. We had a couple of reservations. I was just really surprised. I look at artists and I kind of think to myself, I kind of guess. It's like, okay, we're going to get a lot of response out of this one, and then we don't get a lot. Or we get, I don't know if anybody's going to be interested in this one, and everybody comes rushing in with a contribution. So I'm not going to bet any money on my judgment. I'm just going to put it out there and let's have a good time. Yeah, but the only thing I seem to be good at is selecting different artists that with different styles that seem to always provoke someone or inspire someone to write. So, and we had in the last few contests, I have had a bitch of a time. I'm not supposed to say that before 12 o'clock, am I? I've had a hell of a time judging these things because the poetry has been so damn good. It's, I sit here and just agonize over, and it just comes. Sometimes it comes down to a whisker's breadth of difference between one and another, because they're so good. And I think tonight's going to be no exception. So let's dive in. He's an illustrator. He's known for his fantastical artworks. He's done documentaries, theater. He's done traditional painting. He likes to blend contemporary graphic traditions with classical methods, and he's definitely got some interesting perceptions out there. So let's see what everyone had to say about him. So let's dive in.
All right, so we have Eyes for the Inkwells. Eyes for Inkwells by Apagiana. My hair...
Okay.
Sorry?
Go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My hair is fire on the horizon for those who would have me burn. Dressed in red, but spreading cold, eyes for inkwells. Watercolor stories drench pages. Blank becomes rippled blue. As my pain leaves tidal ramifications, the potion of emotion steeps. When they read of what they've done, the melancholy will boil and bubble, popping into their thoughts. End poem.
Great read, great. She's been sending us brevities, and they've been really tremendous. The image that she wrote to was one of the first ones in the contest. It is of a young woman, redheaded woman, she's wearing a red dress, holding open a book, and on the pages of the book is water, images of water, but as she's tilting the book forward, the water is pouring out the pages of the book. So, and there's a skull sitting on a windowsill right near her. So I really like what Aphasiana has dealt us. My hair is fire on the horizon for those who would have me burn, dressed in red but spreading cold eyes for inkwells. And that's the other thing is I'm looking at the she's weeping. So she's like weeping into the book. So her tears are adding to the water coming out of the book. So I really like what she's done with it. She has such a unique way of seeing things, and I always enjoy reading her interpretation of the prompt. So what did you think of this piece?
Yeah, I liked it. You know, it definitely has some melancholy in it. It's
Right.
You know, I mean, my hair is on it, my hair is fire on the horizon for those who would have me burn. You know, that's a hell of a beginning to this poem. And then when they read of what they've done, the melancholy will boil and bubble, popping into their thoughts. So, you know, they're going to be haunted by what they've wished for. And
yeah.
I thought it was an excellent write. You know, it had a great flow to it. A little brevity, but it packs a punch, which is great.
Oh, yeah. And the center of it, the watercolor stories, drenched pages, blank, become rippled blue as my pain leaves tidal ramifications. That right there, just, I think those three lines just really capture the essence of the prompt. So well done, Aphasiana. Thank you for that great entry. So moving right along, let's go to the next one.
Okay, okay, here we go. We have Framing Words by S. Sharp.
Oh,
and I will post it in the group.
Okay, our good friend S. Sharp. Scott, I'll send for some. All righty, and I'll dive into that. I'll channel Scott. Forming words. People gather on pages, letters joining hands, jumping off limbs and ledges, villains and virtuosos, sounds and songs, dance, dip and spin, sparring, ducking and diving, lunging like swordsmen, slashing and clanking, T's crossed and I's dotted, pupils dilating, sun and moon, light and reflection, O's hung in a mirror-like sky, M's, soldiers crawling through the tall grass in the middle of the night, A to Z colliding, never asking why, abiding, mesmerizing, arms open like a sea, embracing the juxtaposition, the cacophony running through my mind. Standing together like two lowercase L's rubbing elbows, or A kicking its head above the line, periscope rising above the surface, landing in fertile soil on an unmarked page, struck with a K hitting the ground running. End poem.
Well, beautiful read, Bobby. And I enjoyed the poem, you know, it really speaks to literature and the way that it connects us as human beings. And yet each individual letter and, you know, everything has its value and its place. But I really liked A to Z's colliding, never asking why, abiding, mesmerizing, arms open like a sea. You know, that just captures the imagination right there. I never looked at a sea as open arm. I can see it now.
It's written to the first prompt, and the image is of a smiling woman, but instead of hair, she has pages, and it almost looks like music. But emerging from the pages are small figures flying off into the air. Tiny little figures coming off the page, the human-looking figures. And I really like what he's done. I like the play on words in this, forming words. People gather on pages, letters joining hands, jumping off limbs and ledges, sounds and songs, ducking and diving, lunging like swordsmen, T's crossed and I's dotted. It's got a nice rhythm. I like the structure of it. I like some of the phrases that he's paired together. And like you said, the A to Z colliding, never asking why, clever play on words, abiding, mesmerizing, arms open like a sea, embracing the juxtaposition, the cacophony running through my mind. A a very, very clever write. I really enjoyed his interpretation of that particular prompt. So thank you, Scott, for a great entry, and let's continue on.
He has a comment on here by Evraziel, and it says, chaos is all over the poem, while also the writer connects opposite and related words to create order in chaos, which provides a new perspective of searching for words. So that was a great comment.
Yes, thank you for where did you find that? Did you put it on the board?
It's on his poem.
I'm looking because I'm looking at. I don't know. I don't see it. That's all right. I'm glad you found it. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. Okay. So we have. Okay. We have our friend Thomas B. next. And would you like to give that a read, please?
Sure. Green's best friend. There is time for tales where the imagination does not fail. The ingenuity of the humankind spins solutions out of heart and mind, where the union of words and spirit calls out to the inventor that lives within us all. Sorry, I just got to switch to desktop here. All right. There was a time when all that existed was the grassy hillside, the swamp deeply misted. I have visited those sites and more, from evil castle to the howling moor. I know of knights and vassals, pages to kings, and troubadours who made hard things. In a book, it all exists, these and many other things. Now I fly as high as I please, always true with a book to read. I travel through time, I hear things rhyme. I recline upon a throne, visit the minds of heroes bold. All of this and ways to dig for gold. All you need to find your dream are these words to act as seeds. Read and fly. Books are so alive with all the things we want to try. Do not hesitate. All you seek lies in wait. You might laugh, then you tempt fate. Come with me to your nearest library. Take home all the wonders you want to carry and poem.
Excellent read. Excellent. This is some unusual. Thomas usually doesn't rhyme things. And this is a neat piece. I like what he's done with the his interpretation of the prompt. The prompt is a man. It looks like it's some kind of a almost like a bicycle type a contraption underneath the spine of an open book, and he's flying through the air along with the birds, so above the city and through the clouds. And I really like it. There is a time for tales where imagination does not fail. The ingenuity of the humankind spins solutions out of heart and mind, where the union of words and spirit call out to the inventor that lives within us all. I love that first stanza. That really captures the essence of the image, I think. And then he goes on to some really lovely visual imagery. I know of knights and vassals, pages to kings, and troubadours who made hearts sing. And he's got some nice internal rhyming going here too. And a book, it all exists, these and many other things. It's very nice. It's an homage to the wealth of entertainment and information and things that you can find. Read and fly. Books are so alive with all the things we want to try. Great.
Yeah.
Right. What did you think of it?
Well, I thought he did a fantastic job on his rhyming, even though he says in his comment that he's not normally a rhymer. He says, I felt like I was taking my life in my hands to use and rhyme. A little laughter in the end is probably best. but no, he did a great, beautiful job of it. And I really liked, do not hesitate. All you seek lies in wait. You might laugh, but then you might tempt fate. Come with me to your nearest library. Take home all the wonders you want to carry. Yeah, it was a beautiful poem.
I agree. Nicely done. Yeah. Oh, when I put the board together, I did something a little different this time. I'd always gone top to bottom, and I thought, you know, that what the heck? I went to the last poem entered, and I started from there and went from the bottom up this time. So we were reading the last entries first, because sometimes when we have overflow and carryovers, it's usually the last few entries. So I thought I'll loop it on its head this time, do a little different. But I agree. I really like it. It's a great piece. Okay, who we got next?
So next we have "No Longer Your Puppet." "No Longer Your Puppet, I Float Away" by Jenny the Deep, and I'll post this now.
Okay. Sounds intriguing. And opening it up. "No Longer Your Puppet as I Float Away," Jenny the Deep. "Hello, it's me again. Can you recognize me? Do you remember what happened? I do, as if it occurred yesterday. Tired of crying over you. Must carry on my way. Won't let you say hello. Not now. No, not ever. Done lying to myself. Won't continue drowning in hell. Instead, I'll reach for the stars and the moon, fearlessly dreaming to be free, letting the light lead me. Can't stop. Won't stop. Not now. Puppet. Not anymore. Breaking free from your strings was the best thing that could happen. No longer stretched too thin in despair. My head is becoming more clear, floating away from you. No longer your puppet." End poem.
Great read. And she wrote to several prompts. 17, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 44, 48, 49, 52, and 54. Wow. And apparently it's a triple
rectameter. Rectameter.
Rectameter.
Form. Yeah, I have to look that up. I like it. Just the structure of it is beautiful, and the way it reads. And here's a good example of great storytelling in a very tightly structured piece. She's assumed a rectameter. She's structured it very tightly, but she's still told a very rich story of how she's breaking free from something or someone. So I really liked the way it's a very personal write. I said, I do remember what happened. I do as if it occurred yesterday. Tired of crying over you, must carry on my way. Won't let you say hello. Not now, no, not ever. I really like this. One stanza, just the story carries into the next one. What did you think of it?
I thought it was great. It speaks to being trapped and then cutting those strings that tie you down and bind you to whatever it is that you're bound to. And, you're just saying, no, not now. It's not going to not stop, can't stop, won't stop. Not now, not anymore. Puppet. No longer a puppet.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, it sucks to be a puppet. You know, you're just a...
Yeah.
Very powerful. Yeah.
It's very powerful, especially that last stanza. No longer stretched too thin in despair. My head is becoming more clearer, floating away from you, no longer your puppet. Very definite picture here in these words. So, Jenny, well done. Great piece. Thank you for this entry. Okay, who we got next?
Just 1 second here. I'll grab it. We have Kim the Butterfly, Kimmy the Butterfly, and we have Steampunk Polluted Airwaves. I'll post that now.
I remember reading this one. There we go. Would you go? I think you'll find this one interesting. Why don't you go ahead and tackle this one?
Sure. Steampunk Polluted Airwaves. by Kimmy the Butterfly. Rusted fan blades refused his fin, holding three spears on hot air. Fluted root beer shades rusted over city fades. City resistant across exploration. Rusted explorers tire expedition. Pollution fills the airwaves. Rusted fans begin to spin, floating under the sick clouds. Viruses rebuilding the city. Clouds no longer look pretty. Rusted mayor begins to wear tireless drags of all kind. Steampunk aesthetics. Pollution refills genetics. River fades glossy white. City turns out their final light. Pollution fills the empty night. All civilians stick until their bite against the virus in a city. End poem.
Excellent read. Now, she didn't list her prompt, I sent her a note to remind her to list it, but I'm guessing just from her opening, I tried sometimes to take like images and group them together, because I find that sometimes when I do that, writers take them as a group and write to them. And that's what I did with this prompt 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. And I suspect she wrote to prompt 13, which is an image of three large brass-colored balloons with all kinds of gears and fans and blades and things above them, and it's flying over the city. So I suspect and when I read her title, those images do look very steampunk. And rusted fan blades refuse to spin, holding three spheres on hot air, polluted with ear shades. I like that. Rusted over city fades. City resistance across exploration. Rusted explorers, tire expedition. I like what she's done with what I think she's written to the prompts. And I would say this is a brevity, too. It's not very long, but she's got a lot of a very rich visual imagery in here, and I think good storytelling. What did you think of it?
Yeah, you know, I agree with you on everything you said about it. You can picture everything that she speaks of, and you're taken to this polluted wasteland that people are dying in, and it's just it's a tragic scene. I mean, you know, it's the world kind of coming to an end in this time of viruses, which we're literally just about happened here. You know, I mean, really with COVID, I mean, you know, yeah. All the animals were starting to come back into the city because they could. You know, there weren't people to stop them.
Yes.
When the animals start taking back the streets, that's pretty incredible. You know, the times are hard for humans then. So, yeah. I thought it was fascinating, right?
It has a very, very dystopian flavor to it. But I like, and she took that particular group of images, I think, and blended it into this. So, and I think this is another new writer. She's got six poems on her page, so we have another fresh face in our contest, or fresh writer. So well done, and thank you, Kimmy. Hope to see you in another contest. Okay, who we got next?
All right, we've got Hat, and this is called "He Had a Short Death."
Ah, yes, I this is an interesting one. I remember reading this. Okay, I will tackle this one. It is definitely a brevity. Hats. He had a short death. He hung himself with the church bell rope. No time to say anything. Just tilted his head as if leaning on an invisible pillow. The colors of the setting sun stroked his uncombed hair. His heartbeat echoed into the silence of the streets. Death spread cold hands as if playing the accordion. The sky got wet and pinned a sad gem on own forehead. End poem.
Wow. That was fascinating, right?
Isn't it? This was the image she addressed was the one, I'm scrolling down, and she probably listed the number in there. Oh, here it is. Image 22, which I happened to find at the last minute and poked it in there. This was a last minute find on my part. It's an image of a brick, like a profile of a man's head, and inside the head is a beam, and a gentleman has hung himself from the beam inside the head. So that was really interesting, her interpretation on that. I think one of the other writers wrote to this particular prompt also. So it's going to be interesting when we get to that particular piece to see what that writer wrote. But I like her interpretation. I like the fact that it's very, even though it's short, it's very very impactful. What do you think?
Yeah, I found it the same, very impactful. No time to say anything, just tilted his head as if leaning on an invisible pillow. The colors of the setting sun stroked his uncombed hair. His heartbeat echoed into the silence of the streets. You know, that's very forlorn and dark, which is wonderful. You know, not everything's meant to be bright and shiny. And unfortunately for the guy in the picture, it's not. You know, he's hanging from a beam, you know, obviously strung himself up. And, you know, that's how my dad went out, actually. He actually hung himself. So.
Oh, my.
Yeah, he was haunted by his own living, you know. His life wasn't very well lived. You know, he was a bad man, so he couldn't face the reality of his life anymore. So
that's sad. That's very sad. Very painful for the people that are left behind. My goodness.
Yeah, those that were there. I hadn't spoken to him in 26 years, so.
That must be a strange feeling. But thank you for sharing that. That is very, very personal. So, well, this is a very economical write. She tells a very strong story in just 15-16 lines. So well done, Hat. She's a very strong writer. I've seen Hat's works before. She's a very strong brevity writer. So she did a fine job on this one, too. So thank you for that. Okay, who we have next?
We have Ben Hart.
Oh, Mammy Owl's on the board.
Hi, Mammy Owl. If you're listening.
I wonder if she's in the right spot. Because she's welcoming some people.
Yeah, Phil put a request up for us to welcome two people to the group. Jason James and Raven Crow.
Okay, well, this is Ben Hart, and I will nut you to Ben Hart. I will read it. I feel personally responsible. Ben loves these contests so much. And there's a personal note to me and the author's note anyway, so I'll go ahead and tackle this one. You can have a couple of the short ones later on. How's that?
Yeah.
The things we so love, somewhat of a dialogue, by Ben Hart. Julie's lost little joys. Julie. It's just a lot of hurt, isn't it? Life, it walks you through these corridors into happy little rooms, but for some reason, the longer I stay, the less they remain, these little joys, as though the room was happy and I was just haunting it. And I suppose I took that with me, that feeling. I suppose it's guilt, but it's also a sort of melancholic longing, where every imperfect moment is either heavenly or wasted on a wasteful day. And every perfect moment, well, we wouldn't really know, would we? Because time, we have a memory, it changes slightly. And so the things we love, we tend not to touch them for fear that what our hands could break and may never fix again. Mozart, why must you always say things that I cannot hold? Carry with me as a light when dusk goes dim and your half of this hill grows cold. Do you have any idea what my life has been like? Julie, since you left, Mozart, where was I to go? But not into the world that called to me from the moment I took my first steps. You know I couldn't have been happy here. Two, Julie's War of Two Worlds. Julie, and you were happy out there? Where the ground rests the bodies of good men from those unsung dreams grew poppy horizons? You may think your war was worse than mine, but where death employed you, it was my enemy. I have saved as many of them as I could, but at a certain point, death just creeps into a place, haunts the halls in shadow and shiver, takes things out of spite just to show those foolish enough to aspire to become healers how futile their fight really is. I mean, I've killed men out of mercy who were suffering on the floor of my childhood bedroom. Can you say wherever you went, there was mercy in such places? Or does at some point a man just bow before death without thought of music, love, the sea, the warm, the breeze, the shore, the time? Mozart's War of Two Worlds. Mozart, I told you what my war was like and how much of it was you. And my dear, without the thought of music, love, the sea, the warmth, the breeze, the shore, the time, or mercy, I would lay dead on some foreign hill with a lot of good men. But if by now you do not know that I love you like I love God, then this will be a lifelong fight to surrender to something I know I'm not meant to understand, that I know I was supposed to just be glad to have it. But fucking hell, you made it all so grand, and that's me saying that in love with a thousand faces with the same pair of eyes. It's not something I'm sure my body can weather, though forever my soul is tethered to the hill where every life you first met me. The question, Julie, how is it that one who left was always here and the one who stayed has always been away? A maybe. Mozart, because we were lost without our love and so two worlds formed. But it wasn't by the luck of the wind or by the pull of the moon that my rudderless state of existence reared itself. My dearest, it was you. It was you that moved these oceans. It's always been you. And death may have taken what you should never have been expected to give, but they cannot move on until you do. And the more you let go, the more the ocean will heal all your woes if you just let it in. As you said, my darling, the war is over, so stop fighting. End poem.
Wow, beautiful read, Bobby. And, as Abba Note says, this is part of a story I'm writing. Lovely when this different inspiration comes from trusted places. And,
he writes, from my beloved captain, you don't have to read the names, but I'm already smiling at the thought of your thoughts about this. A lot of love from old and Netherlands. he started putting notes to me. And his AM, it's cute, it's charming. And he really seems to enjoy these contests. They really seem to inspire him. And this is a real departure for him. This is like a dialogue between two characters. Usually it is a monologue or a sequence of stories. But this is a dialogue. It's very interesting. I like the way the characters are playing out and speaking to each other in this very colloquial, conversational tone, yet very deep, very philosophical, very existential. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I said to him on one of his last breaks, I said, you know, your mind is very deep. Thank you for taking us on that journey. You know, he's got such a deep thinking mind. You know, his whole repertoire is deep thinking. I mean, you know, it's long worded, but well written. You know, it keeps you engaged in the right, you know, you don't get bored of his play on words, play on thoughts, his movement through his poetry. You know, it's like watching a dancer, really. And I don't know, you know, like a kind of, I guess, a ballet dancer or something. But, you know, where you're just mesmerized by the movement of the words. And so he did a wonderful job on this. Beautiful write and an excellent read, Bobby.
Thank you. That was a challenge. I read it earlier just to kind of familiarize myself with it, but I knew this was going to be a little challenging. But I like your comments. He really does have, even though his pieces are quite lengthy, they're not tedious. They're definitely engaging. There's a lot to be said and a lot to be to read into them. So I agree. His writing is very layered, very dense, very complex. He's a very cerebral writer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Who have we got next? Now that we've got dear old Ben Hart out of the way, who we got next?
We have Alexander Shamyan. And I will post this to the group.
Okay.
Okay, so this is Through the Eyes of an Artist by Alexander Shamyan.
Okay, well, this is another long write, so you get this one.
Yeah, okay. All right, so this is Through the Eyes of an Artist by Alexander Shamyan. In the prophetic vision of the artist, we run in circles in the universe of simulacra and mechanical devices, screws, nuts, and bolts, wheels and gears riding on the boulder and the shoulders of Sisyphus in the futile attempt to reach the top of the hill. In this universe where we are puppets, guided by our tiny puppeteers who direct our actions and perceptions, where night and day are interchangeable state sets, where we are trapped by time and money, wearing myriad masks with nothing underneath. In this universe where boys and girls are trapped in unattainable sex roles, where ugly domiciles are piled upon each other at random, and monasteries are replaced by skyscrapers. In this universe, where a small group of industry moguls would rather see the earth burn if they can make a profit, where brainwashing is as commonplace as the lack of drinking water, where a writer's pen is condemned and put to death by an axe of a censor. In this universe, where wisdom is a caged owl inside an old man's head, where the crushing weight of gold, red tape, and bureaucracy prevent angels from flying. In this universe, where knowledge and the truth can still set you free. End poem.
Excellent read. And here's an example of, this was the same image that Thomas B. wrote to. But I noticed in his writing, he also references, let's see if I can find it very quickly. Ah, Prompt 20. He's written to Prompt, here we go. Here it is. Prompt 10. He's written to Prompt 10, which is the book with the bicycle underneath. He's also written to Prompt 20, which is, let's see if I can find it. Here it is. In this universe where wisdom is a caged owl inside an old man's head, where the crushing weight of gold, red tape, and bureaucracy prevents angels from flying. There's another prompt that he's written to. He didn't list it, but it's I'm gonna quickly see if I can find it here. I remember it is a block of gold, the gold ingot, and it's got a man chained to it, and actually it's got an angel chained to it. I think I've gone past it. I have gone past it. Doggone it. Must have been earlier in the contest than I realized. Oh, there it is. Prompt. Yes, it is. Prompt 8. So he's written to 8 and 10 and 20. So he's got several of the prompts in there that he didn't list. But I like the way it, and in just this one stanza, in this universe where wisdom is a caged owl inside an old man's head, where the crushing weight of gold, red tape, and bureaucracy prevents angels from flying. That, I think, is just beautifully captures those two separate prompts. And in this universe where music, knowledge, and the truth can still set you free, it has a dystopian feeling to it, but it still has a very positive ending. So I really liked it. This is he's a new writer to us. He's not contributed before, even though he's been around for a while. So that's nice to see a face from an old or a new write from an established member. So what did you think of it?
Well, you know, I was looking through the prompts, and, you know, prompt 52, there's somebody holding the night up in one hand while looking behind a curtain at daylight on the other. So
yep.
That's the night and day being interchangeable. And then prompt 38, where there's somebody standing, you know, at a cutting block, and he's cut the tip of a pen off with an axe, beheading
yes.
pen,
yes.
spilling the ink. So, I mean, you know, he's really captured so many amazing prompts beautifully, you know, and flawlessly. So I thought it was fantastic, right? And I'm still looking for that bar of gold, or the gold that the angels trapped you, though. Oh, there it is.
Eight.
Okay. Prompt, not
yeah,
eight.
Yeah. It's early on. Yeah, he's but, in a universe where we're guided by our tiny puppets who direct our actions and perception. Yeah, he really has captured quite a number of the prompts in here and hasn't listed them. And I think I'll shoot him a note. Excuse me. I'll shoot him a note, ask him to list those, because it's clear that he has really embraced a lot of these, especially as the one writer talks about the steampunk. We run in circles in the universe of simulacra and mechanical devices, screws, nuts and bolts, wheels and gears riding on the boulder and shoulders of Sisyphus in the futile attempt to reach the top of the hill. I mean, and a beautiful allusion to mythology there, too, referring to Sisyphus. Very nice. This is a very sophisticated write. It's got a lot of very well done visual imagery inspired by the prompts. So I like the way he's woven so many of them together so very artfully. So well done, Alexander, and I hope we get to see more of your work in here. May have to start following this fellow. Okay,
yeah.
Who's next?
In this universe where music, knowledge, and truth can still set you free. It reminds me of the one with the music sheets on her head, you know, the one where the people
yes.
are flying out of
yes,
her
yes.
head.
Good point. I would really love to see which prompts he wrote to, because I think there'd be a laundry list of them. Because I see, like you had pointed out, you spotted several of the ones I didn't spot. I spotted several that leapt out at me. I was really amazed at how he wove them so artfully together. Is that
yeah,
bad grammar?
Yeah, for sure. He definitely did a wonderful job of it.
Yeah, he did. Okay. So, all righty. So, what do we got? Oh, what's going on up here? Hi, Mamia. Oh, hi. Phil's in here.
Yeah.
What are you doing, Phil? Phil's backstage. There she is. Okay. Well, welcome, Phil, the silent partner. Okay. Okay, so we have Bleeding Into These Pages. Is that our next one? All righty. bleeding into these pages. Oh, man. Okay. Lanny Kada. I guess that's how it's pronounced. Yeah, okay. Words will not find their way into the empty pages. He stands over me with an axe, sharp, gray material. Crumbled paper surrounds my severed writing pen like a preacher bestowing upon me the punishment for my sins. Eyes covered by red cloth looms over me. Warm ink spills on the blank page, blurring my thoughts, and stain of blue mock for me for the rhymes that dissolve as the air, as the rising air in my throat touches my weary tongue. Rain splatters on sloping rooftops, a distant thud soaking into the small gaps in a similar brick on every roof. Each house blended into the other, leaving no gaps between the underlying stone pathways on which once separated them, settles on the morning air, its hands gripping my heart, with every breath squeezing out the red that I bled into rhymes that I created and left me there completely breathless. Traces of ash from the fires we fueled spread uncontrolled. Heat rolled off polished driveways from beneath which coal burned by human hands caused the flame that engulfed forests and rivers and left them empty pieces of bare land. My faded blue jeans grasp and cling to my sweaty knees. I gasp awake as I feel the sharp piercing of the quarter moon, shiny, smooth teeth slipping into the warm flesh of my skin. A warning. She tells me to stop the destruction we brought on. I let out a painful cry, but only silence plagues the dark sky. Then the soft silk of my bed greets me with early dawning. The moon has faded, the sky shifting to a shade of crystal springs, yet she peers down at me, and the ink is drying on the paper, eligible scrawls of the wisdom she had poured into my mind. My skin is smooth, my wounds are invisible, if not for the ache, the warning clear in the hands that release my breathless heart, bleeding onto paper in rhymes which I will tell you now. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And I like the
Thank
poem.
You.
It had a great flow to it. You know, the imagery was fantastic. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, words will not find their way onto empty pages. He stands over me with an axe, sharp, gray, metal. Crumbled paper surrounds my severed writing pen like a preacher bestowing upon me the punishment for my sins. Eyes covered by the red cloth looms over me. Wow, he really captured that image quite beautifully. And warm ink spills
to
the blank page, blurring my thoughts, and stains of blue mock me for the rhymes that dissolve as the rising air in my throat touches my very tongue. I mean, very haunting imagery. You know, he's given us a lesson on, you know, what Mother Nature thinks is going on, and she's not happy. So she wants everybody to know, so she's going to tell him and get his word to say, you know, this is what's going on. Wake up, people. You know, it's not going to last. And, you know, and then he really captured the moon. I mean, sorry, where he's pierced by the quarter moon. I can't find it right now, but, you know, where he captured that being pierced by the quarter moon. And
that's the second to the last stanza, right about the middle. My faded blue jeans grasp and cling to my sweaty knees. I gasp and awake as I feel the sharp piercing of the quarter moon, shiny, smooth teeth slipping into the warm flesh of my skin.
Yeah, I mean, that's epic. You really captured the art beautifully.
It really has done a really stellar job of we've got prompts 37, 38, 40, 44, and 48, and she's woven them together quite artfully into some great visual imagery and a great story. I mean, it is very melancholy, almost tragic, but it really is very powerful right. And it's one of those rites that always benefits from rereading it, you know, to slowly take each line or each stanza and kind of roll it around in your head, and you know, it's kind of like it should be sipped, not gulped. This is one of those reads that really does benefit from subsequent readings, second and third readings, because I think I can see more. I've read it a couple times before, and as I read it again, I see more in it. So, and you've already offered your opinion, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to make sure we didn't I didn't overlook that. Yeah, it's a very very intriguing write. I like this author. I've not read anything by them before. I hope we see more from them. Okay, who we have next?
We have Sophia Starr's Digits in Height.
Okay.
5 Digits in Height.
Give it a whirl.
It's crazy to imagine the men who want my 5 digits. They try so hard to reach me. I'm higher up than all of them. I'm on the 5-digit climb. It's why I'm higher than all of them. They open their mouth. They want to play. They want me for themselves. I'm climbing higher than the mountain. 5 digits in height is my dream. I don't like the men that cream. It's why I'm 5 digits higher. I'm walking through the world of fire. All these hungry men needing food. They look at me like I'm dessert. They want me, but I don't care. I'm higher than all of you. I'm higher in the air. They want 5 digits to swallow. I'm not that hollow. Don't follow me. Don't follow me. I'm 2 sticks higher. I'm 5 digits in height. Get on my level, red devil. I'm in the mighty tight.
Excellent read. This is intriguing. I've gone to her. I did this before, but I wanted to remind myself. I've gone back to Sophia Starr's homepage, and we've got 21 pieces here, but we've got an interesting. You know how Luke J.R. has a specific way of titling his works. It's usually two words. Start with the same letter. Here with Sophie Starr's, she's got 5 digits in a demon, 5 digits in our sail away, 5 digits in Silk Road, 5 digits in a tiger's mouth, 5 digits in performance. Because she's got a theme growing here. I think I may have to go back and reread some of this. We've got 5 digits in a lonely shower, 5 digits in a swamp. It's interesting. I like, and it says 5 digits, season 1. So we've got. I like it when a writer has a particular motif or theme that they like to subscribe to. It's very 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 stylized. It tends to distinguish their writing from others just by virtue of that particular idiosyncratic writing style. So I like the interpretation of the prompt. The prompt is she's one prompt, and it's a woman on stilts climbing over the walls of a labyrinth. And I like the way she says, "They want 5 digits to swallow. I'm not that hollow. Don't follow me." She's got an internal rhyme in here that's very clever too. It's almost like rap. I said, this is why I'm higher than all of them. They open their mouth. They want to play. They want me for themselves. I'm climbing higher than the mountain. I don't like men that great. I'm walking through the world of fire. All these men, hungry men needing food. They look at me like I'm dessert. You've got a little bit, you've got a very, very sharp wit in here. And the humor is very dry. The writers had fun with this, and it's delightful to see that. What did you think of it?
I thought it was well done. 5 digits in height got me, you know, it was a hand high. I can see it, though. I'm higher up than all of them. I'm on a 5-digit climb. That's why I'm higher than all of them. They open their mouths. They want to play. They want me for themselves. I'm climbing higher than the mountain. 5 digits in height is my dream. I don't like the men that cream. That's why I'm 5 digits higher. And, so it's definitely a impactful poem. You know, it says what is on her mind, and it really gets the point across. Get on my level, Red Devil. I am the mighty. I'm in the mighty tight. So, yeah, wonderful job.
Yeah, it's a very clever write. It's very clever. I think I'm going to have to go back to her page, though, and read some of her other pieces to find out what the reoccurring motif, this 5-digit thing, is. Maybe something that may disclose itself, and it may not. You know, it might be one of those things that it's an inside joke, and only the writer knows what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And there's not a damn thing wrong with that. Okay, who's next?
Next we have a poet named Sophia Axe.
Oh, yes. Sophia Axe. I don't know how to pronounce it either. I don't know if it's... So I think it's Sophia, I'm not sure, but she's also a new writer. She's only got 13 pieces on her page. But here we go. We have Sophia's Memory. Oh, yes, and she's doing something similar. I think we had Sophia's Memory Part 3 in the last contest, and now we have Sophia's Memory Part 4. Memory, the orca of the distant skies, left a couple on distant lies. Toppled over homes, fallen together like Jenga, bringing them closer. They were heaven sent here. Mountain. Cascaded down the mountain, orca's forbidden fountain, where homes were left a dozen. They were sure they weren't Russian. Orca. The orca of the distant skies toppled together, fountain highs, where dimes were tossed a dozen. They weren't Russian. Rushing water left the homes dry. The couple wished they could fly. The dreams they had were simplified. With age came the orca's distant cry. End poem.
And that's written in Prompt 37.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Which is?
I'm scrolling to that too.
Houses.
Yeah, I like the top of a Jenga, that reference.
Yeah,
and interestingly enough, she's taken a reference from her from the previous contest, which is where she wrote to the one of the images that had orcas flying through the sky, and she's blended it into this piece, which I've never seen anyone do before. I rather like that.
Yeah, I mean, the orca of distant skies. The orca of distant skies left a couple on distant lies, toppled over homes, falling together like Jenga, bringing them down, bringing them closer. They were heaven sent there. So heaven sent here. Really interesting ideology there,
Yeah.
The the work at toppling over homes, falling together like Jenga, bringing them closer. They were heaven sent here. And I thought it was talented, right? It definitely has backbone and appeal. You know, it really is wonderful, right? Very talented.
It is. It's interesting storytelling, too. And the fact that I've gone back to, I'm looking at Sophia's memory, part three. And it's got memory. It's the orca of the distant skies. Let's huddle together with dry eyes. Don't weep any tear for her. She doesn't weep while in the sky. Huddle with me. Don't ask the reason why. And the prompt was the image of the surfer standing on the beach looking up at the sky, and there were orcas swimming through the sky in the clouds. And she's orca. I know the memories swim toward us. It's not easy holding together our bus, just like it was the distant orca. It's interesting that she's taken that theme and folded it over into a subsequent poem. That's very creative, very very clever. I enjoy that. It's going to be interesting to see if she comes in on the next contest and what she's going to do, if she does. So yeah, I agree. Yeah. I like it. It's abstract, but it has a nice flow to it.
Absolutely.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Our another new one, Akiko's Socks. And I know she's written the prompt eight, definitely. We've got a nice brevity here. Lawyers weighted by gold. Golden shackle on their ankle, weighing down all they can't handle. Wings given by impure angels while others would call them devils. While in flight with the golden shackle, the lawyer had fallen and broken his ankle. The nature around him didn't seem to matter, while all wig lawyer cats had only gotten fatter. The weighted gold was heavier than his balance. The flight would now become falling. The lawyer had fallen and broken his stolen ring because the treasury that he had falsely obtained, it ruined his balance, his family to be drained. Whoa! End poem.
Wow.
Because we got a moral to hear. We got a morality story here. Hey, someone doesn't like
it. Yeah,
but that's the prompt eight, which is another one that is reoccurring. That's the suited angel trying to fly off being shackled to the gold ingot.
Right, okay.
Yeah. What did you think of this piece?
Well, I thought she captured the prompt quite beautifully. I mean, she really gets into what it is that wings given by impure angels, while others would call them devils, while in flight with the golden shackle, the lawyer had fallen and broken his ankle. The nature around him didn't seem to matter, while all the big lawyer cats had only gotten fatter. You know, the weighted gold was heavier than his balance. The plate would now become falling. The lawyer had fallen, broken his stolen ring because the treasury that he had falsely obtained, it ruined his balance and left his family to be drained. You know, when you give it all for money, you lose a lot, including family at times. So it's definitely a hard-hitting, impactful write on the subject of choosing wealth over, you know, earthly comforts.
I agree. It's like I said, it's a morality tale. It's a very cautionary about putting wealth ahead of other things, and how that can be lead to someone's ruination. So very, very strong right for a brevity. Very nicely done.
Yeah, absolutely.
All righty. We are skipping along rather briskly here. We're doing well. Who have we got next?
Sorry, I'm just finishing a comment here on the board. And then I will get to it forthwith. All right, here we go. Kiko Sox, this is by Ratul, and I'll post this in the group. There we go.
Okay. I'm losing my mind. Did I just read or did you?
I think you did, yeah.
I can't recall. <It's> terrible. Well, you go ahead and tackle it then, while I look for my brain.
Yeah, we have Beyond Temporal Realism, Even More, by Ratul, and this is a lady. So, when the tides or drifts of time is also immaterial, in that there is no absolute measure in going forward or turning back, when there is no clear demarcation between the sunrise or sunset, day or night, that suddenly it seems the mechanical gears or the allegorical time machine reveals a fault in its driving mechanism in a clouded mind frame. I can perceive a tunnel or a long bore running from this side to undefined end. I think now, no concrete thoughts, no logic, but as if like a puppet in the hands of the inexplicable, the elusive power of the universe. In a hypnotic effect, I start running through this corridor, lighted in semi-luminosity. Where the tunnel leads, I do not know, or my brain is too clouded or confused. There is no fatigue within here. There is no remorse or sadness here. How long were that the measure of terrestrial time taken a back seat? On my way, gazing up, confronting the starry canopy of the galaxies. But I don't want to go back, even if I don't mind if I am dead already. Nevertheless, in the aura of death, gifted or honored with the unending light of power and wisdom or knowledge larger than life, there can still be a situation like this, where even the magnetic compass fails. I have been rendered larger than life, even in death and home.
Excellent read. Wow. This is prompt 11. And this is the... This is a very interesting interpretation. This is one of the steampunk looking pieces where there's a large metal head, no face, just and the gears underneath, and where the brain and the face is a large looks like an aperture with a bridge and a person walking into a very bright light, and they've really done something quite esoteric. Quite philosophical with this prompt. Larger than life, there can still be a situation like this where even the magnetic compass fails. Interesting. I like that line. I have been rendered larger than life even in death. This is a really a very deep, very very introspective write. I like their interpretation of the prompt. They've really... It's really gone into it philosophically and examined it very closely. So very well done. What did you think?
Yeah, you know, I got that out of it too, that it was definitely introspective, you know. But, you know, it really makes you question about life and the life that you're living. You know, are you just a puppet of the universe? You know, tied to strings that are, you know, making pre-made measurements for you and controlling what you do. As if in clouded mind frame, I can perceive a tunnel or a long bore running from this side to undefined end. And then, you know, I think now no concrete thoughts, no logic, but as if like a puppet in the hands of inexplicable, the elusive power of the universe. in the hypnotic effect, I start running through this corridor, lighted in semi-luminosity, where the tunnel leads, I do not know, or my brain is too clouded or used. There is no fatigue here within. There is no remorse of that. You know, you're just there, and you're rendered larger than life, even in death. So that was wonderful. Yeah. It was a great take on the prompt. Well done.
I mean, it really, really a very deeply philosophical piece. It's really like a close examination of that particular piece of artwork. I mean, they've really scrutinized it, and this seems like an outpouring of some really inspired thinking. So I really, really enjoyed the writing here. This was a really terrific piece.
Absolutely.
Okay, who we got next? They just keep getting better and better.
We have Myriad Dark, Pierced by the Moon.
Okay.
And I think you know what that is. So I'll paste that, and away you go.
Okay. Pierced by the Moon by Myriad Dark. And a life in parenthesis, an endogen of blistering possibilities. There was an AI savior once upon a time who spoke of the inherent nature of ghosts and machines of randomly programmable streams of consciousness, whereby dreams were integer dirigibles and lunacy random factors floating in a DNA soup. There was a body of work pierced by an unconscionable presence, an earworm where our thoughts became crescent-shaped and we hung like corpses dangling from lampposts. There were other psychoses too, unpreventable and intense. We wrote them as epitaphs and epitaphs, needle scratch marks on our skin, misinterpreted signposts of climate change and musical scoring. It stood to reason then there was no indices or random drive-by binary input. It was all encoded into the Dreamscape program until the exact moment when it all went sidewheel and we were placed into the mindset of somnambulist. Until finally, we were pierced by the moon. And poem.
Well, great read, Bobby. And it's a fascinating poem. Definition of somnambulist. Someone who walks.
Sleepwalker.
Who walks about in their sleep.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, so it's a sleepwalker.
Yeah.
But I've never seen that term before. And they also dirigibles. It's like a
lighter than air.
Zeppelin.
Yeah, it's a lighter than airship.
Yeah, so I learned two things today. That's great. You can learn something, when you have to go in outside of your mind and bring stuff in, that's great. It really makes you connect to the poem. And, this is another one where, it really is an epic take on the prompt of the crescent moon and the person hanging by it, pierced by it. Needle scratch marks on our skin, misinterpreted signposts of climate change and musical scoring. I mean, that's a big confusion there when you're writing about music on your skin. And it's definitely a fantastic poem. His author's notes is way too long to get into. But, I see, it's about the artist. Okay. It was a wonderful write. It really had a lot of imagery that was hard-hitting, impactful, and engaging throughout. So beautiful write, Myriad Dark. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. And I really enjoyed the wordplay. Like you said, you've got terms like somnambulist in there and dirigible. And what I especially liked is There were other psychoses too, unpreventable and intense. We wrote them as epithets and epithets. Very clever play on words. Epithets being the words written in memory of a person who has died, and an epithet being a descriptive phrase expressing a quality or characteristic of a person or thing. So very, very clever wordplay in this. Really appreciated the use of vocabulary and language. Very sophisticated, right? And I like their interpretation of the prompt. And they only actually wrote the one prompt. They wrote to 44, which is the crescent moon with the person impaled on it. But they definitely wrote quite a bit to that one prompt. So Myriad Dark, great piece of writing. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. All right, here
okay.
we go. We have one by Stelina.
Oh, my. You can.
Vincent
Stelina?
Okay, here we go.
You get to read Stelis.
There we go.
You want this has got Latin in it. You want me to handle it?
Yes, please.
I have a feeling. That's all right. No problem. I've read this one a couple of times. We have Mors Vincit Omnia by Stelina. Within the walled prison of the mind, beyond an impenetrable facade where nightmares haunt each waking hour of self, dangles macabrely, choking life like an unruly, twisting vine, until what it seems is not as it seems, for indifference infects the perception, flaunting its impish illusions, like a magician's sleight of hand, manipulating reality. Wandering barren streets of faceless souls who admire the outer construction of a deceptive demeanor, unable to observe the rotting foundations crumbling to dust each day, when finally the edifice will collapse, and there reveal to all a hanged shell devoid of sentience, rigor mortis, third and final stage complete, Mors Vincit Omnia. And the translation is death always wins.
Wow.
End point.
That was amazing. Great read, Bobby.
Is it?
But I want to take a look at prompt 22 here real quick. Oh, that's obviously
the
man.
That's the one that does Faziano wrote too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say I knew it came up again, and I was interested in seeing what the different takes were going to be on this. So, what did you think of Stelina's piece?
I really enjoyed it, you know. It was dark, but bright and shiny in its appeal. Wandering barren streets of faceless souls who admire the outer construction of a deceptive demeanor, unable to observe the rotting foundations crumbling to dust each day. And finally, the edifice will collapse, and there reveal to all a hanged shell devoid of sentience, rigor mortis, third and final stage complete, Mors Vincit Omnia. Wow. Hard-hitting, impactful.
Yeah.
Visually stunning.
Very dark. Yeah, very dark. And she has definitely flexed her vocabulary. And I like the alliteration of flaunting its impish illusions. For indifference infects the perception, flaunting its impish illusions. Great turn of phrase there. Very, very artful, very clever, very skillfully written.
Yeah, she's a talented artist, that's for sure.
Oh, my.
I enjoy all her work.
Oh, my, yes. Yeah, and when she teams up with Arcana, it usually ends up with something being really epic.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah, and this is kind of a departure for her because it's only two stanzas. And it's fairly short, but it's for brevity. My God, it's very, like you said, very dark, very, very macabre, very moribund, very, very, very deeply descriptive of destruction and decay. And I like it. Flaunting its impish illusions like a magician's sleight of hand manipulating reality. Great metaphors in here. Great visual imagery. And an interesting piece to put up against Faziana's in the way it examines the same image. But I think they both come to the same conclusion, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, Selena, thank you so much for this. Really enjoyed it. What else have we got? Oh,
we have Meeting in a Birdcage by Princess Alicia.
Okay.
Hooting in the back of the head in a birdcage without vision. The face is trying to understand what the owl fails to hand. It has no hands, which is why it stares. The person inside has no cares. The clouds above seem pointless. The elderly man is not focused. The owl hoots without their boots. The rusted cage becomes old age. The empty field is lonely. The stand below is phony. The owl continues to state the elder man. Elderly man fails to care, and boom.
We had some really impressive brevities tonight. I like the cadence of this. It has no hands, which is why it stares. The person inside has no cares. The clouds seem pointless. The elderly man is not focused. The rusted cage becomes old age. The empty field is lonely. The stand below is phony. They've had a lot of fun with internal rhyming and the rhyme scheme, and yet it's very very compact. This is what I would call an economical write. Very tight, good storytelling, good cadence, very engaging, and I like the interpretation of the prompt.
Absolutely. Very common.
What did you think of it, Gary?
I liked it, too. It really speaks to how people are unaware of what's going on in their own brain. And, it leaves an empty field, the disconnection, the disconnect of the reality
mm-hmm.
and what is going on in their own head. And it has no hands, which is why it stares. The person inside has no cares. The clouds above seem pointless. The elderly man is not focused. The owl hoots without their boots. The rusted cage becomes old age. And then life goes on and you're dead. So I thought it was a great job. Well done. Thank you for sharing, Princess.
It's a good write. It's entertaining. It has, like I said, it has a nice cadence to it, and it's good storytelling. So well done,
absolutely.
Princess Alicia, and thank you for the write. There's another new. She's got 17 pieces on her homepage. So, and I think she was in one of our previous contests too. So that's
yeah,
great.
Thank you.
Glad to see him coming back. Okay, what do we got left?
We have the next one coming up here in just a moment.
Having fun.
All right,
with that,
have
you? Okay.
Who's Inside by Maria XF.
Okay.
Inside knowledge.
Tears. And I think, oh yes, okay. And I was looking at the, we should have also on the contest page, I'm reminded Amy, that she owed us a piece, and hopefully she got it plugged in there before. Let's see, I'm looking for, whoops, where's the beginning? Oh, looking for the beginning of, oh, there it is. Okay, I'll have to, I'm going to have to take that off of the contest page, because I plugged in her placeholder on the board. So while we're commenting, I'll make sure I move it over there. Okay, we have Tears Inside Knowledge. So why don't you go ahead and do that, and I will move Amy's over. You go ahead and read this one, please.
Okay, sure. Tears Inside Knowledge by Maria XS. I'm studying for my best friend. She's no longer with me to the end. I lost her to a silent killer. I'd do anything to be next to her. Inside our study book, she would scrawl a duck. It had a top hat to remind me, always be classy. That's when I told her, I'm sassy. She laughed that day. I remember what she would say. Tears may fall. Knowledge become all, may become all. There is to know about this world. Don't forget what you were told. Inside these pages that were wet, tears fall with every poet. You're not alone inside these pages. Like our library, you will survive for many ages. But if your time is cut short, just remember this book we brought. I'm sure it was borrowed by friends. Don't forget the happier trends. Focus on your study in class. Always stay classy and never be alone at last. Told me these words in the past. I still miss her, though, ever past. End poem. And her author's notes say, I remember my best friend who always reminded me to study. She may be weird like that, but she was the best friend I ever had. I don't think I'll ever forget her. She was there to the very end when my life was in turmoil. Now I pray to her that her world finally feels real. And her descriptors are love, friendship, death, sad, pain, and missing you.
And here's another write to prompt five. We've had several prompts that paired off, a couple of them with five, a couple with ten, a couple with people seem to gravitate toward certain prompts in this particular contest. And I can't remember who used this particular prompt. Oh, no, this was a Faisiana sprite. That's right. I thought it was the other one. No, it's this one, which is Hair on Fire. And this was, it was Hair on Fire. I remember that. But this is where she has talked about her best friend being there for her. This is a very soulful write. There's a lot of pain in this, and you can feel the experience, the loss she experienced. And I'm not quite sure. Said she was my best friend. I don't think I'll ever forget her. She was there to the very end when my life was in turmoil. Now I pray to her that her world finally feels real. You've got to wonder what happened to the friend, if she took her own life, or what what befell her. It doesn't sound like it was a very happy fate. But she's written about this friend with a great deal of love and a great deal of soul and spirituality. So, Maria, thank you for this very, I think writing about pain like this, to me, it seems very courageous. What did you think of the writing?
Yeah, you know, it was very sad, tragic, but beautiful. I mean, she got to share that friendship with that person for the time that she did, which is a great thing to do. And, just to have that friendship in your life is something special.
Yeah.
And, you know, the loss is, I mean, love is a beautiful thing, but it's also one of the hardest things that we can go through, you know, because love, you know, you give it, you give everything, and then somebody leaves for a reason, whether it's death or by choice. And, you know, all that, you know, you feel like you lose everything, but you've gained so much in the friendship and that bonding that you had that allowed you to feel love. So I thought it was great. Very sad.
Yeah, you just reminded me of one of my favorite, you know how I'm always quoting films. I have this strange bone or relay in my head. I have this this talent that I'll start thinking about a film that I haven't seen in a while, and all of a sudden it'll pop up on TV. Don't ask me how that works. But I woke up Sunday morning. It's weird, but it happens regularly to me. But I was woke up last week or week before thinking about a film called Tea House of the August Moon. It was done in the late 50s, early 60s. Basically, to distill the story down, it's about this the army occupation of Okinawa after World War II, and how this army a captain is sent to a small village in Okinawa, and he's supposed to introduce them to democracy. Well, instead, they introduce him to their culture, and he ends up realizing what beauty there is in the way they're living, that they don't need our democracy, that they're happy the way they are. But strangely enough, and I'm sure this would not in today's culture, Marlon Brando plays an Okinawan. He carries it off pretty well. He carries it off pretty well. But the film starts with him speaking, and it ends with him speaking. And the phrase that he uses, and I've never forgotten this, he says, pain make man wise. Wisdom make man think. No, he says, pain make man think. Thinking make man wise. And wisdom make life endurable. And he says that at the beginning and the end of and he says that at the beginning and the end of the film. And it always struck me as elegant. But simple but elegant and profound. The pain makes man think, thought makes man wise, and wisdom makes life endurable. There's one other quote in that film that has always been a favorite of mine, and I apply it to myself. The captain that gets sent to this village, he's historically a screw up. No matter whatever he touches, usually goes to snafu. But one of the other captains, his colleague, it tells him, "You shouldn't worry about." He says, "You didn't." He said, "You didn't do it wrong. You're not wrong. You're not a screw up." And he looks at him. He says, "You know, that used to really worry me." He said, "But I have learned to make peace with myself somewhere between my ambitions and my limitations."
I
love that phrase. I've learned to make peace with myself somewhere between my ambitions and my limitations. So talk about profound. So we've got about 5 minutes left. We got one more poem. Let's make sure we cover that so we won't have any carryovers. We got Amy as our last one, and I will tackle that. And then I will take a brief a moment to talk about our next contest, which I was setting up today. And tomorrow I'm going to finish off the previous contest that I've been working on. And what I'm trying to do now is, as these poems come in, I'm trying to comment on them. But these poems came in so fast, I couldn't keep up with them. I was surprised at how quickly this contest filled up. Are you posting Amy for us?
I did, yep.
Okay. All right. Let me refresh here. There she is. Okay. And our last poem, First Taste of Horizon by A.R. Mundell. Inside every woman is a girl who dreamed of freedom, that one day that balcony would slip away or she would become tall enough to step right over it, and she would finally be able to taste that horizon, which she watches brush the clouds each day. The never-ending, the possibilities, the boundless, the places the birds circle and fly to each day, supping at their endless waters. She dreams of the places beyond that horizon, of the adventures her own wings will bear her to, and cannot imagine a future where she cannot taste it. Yet that infinity of options could not apply to her. Yet it is only when she has grown to fill the space and those birds are locked down tight inside her and the iron-girdled balcony rails have grown high like an impenetrable thicket, a twisted, taunting barrier, that she realizes that true freedom belonged to the small, that only the half-grown can have full dreams. For once those waters are tasted, you start drowning. That current of endless possibilities is a riptide. The choices unchosen become weights dragging you down, and those adult clothes and shoes become burdensome, heavy as you try to remember the feeling of wings. End poem. Wow.
Yeah, that's
I'm glad
deep.
Ended the evening with that one. That's
yeah,
okay. 36. I'm rolling to it right now. Oh, yes. This was one, a last-minute entry. I pull these things together, and sometimes as I'm assembling them, I find bits and pieces at the last minute that I think, oh, I've got to include this. You know. And this is the one with a little girl standing on a balcony, and the doorway behind her is the silhouette of a grown woman. And the little girl who's got a doll, a teddy bear in her hands, the little girl is staring at the birds in the sky. I really like this interpretation of this prompt. I really like what she's done with this. And the first taste of horizon. What did you think of it?
I thought it was wonderful. You know, it was a deep thinking poem. She really connected with that prompt, and you can feel that connection speak to her and speak to the world. So I thought she did a great job of reflecting herself through this prompt. And, I really like it. Stay a child, you know, be a child as long as you can. Just, you know,
yes.
Being an adult, it's, you know, it's not very fun.
or to keep the childlike qualities, because this person
yeah.
has those childlike qualities. She dreams of places beyond the horizon. This is wonderful. I really like what you're right, the way she said it. She really connected with the prompt. And now we have 1 minute left, and what I'm going to talk about for the last minute is the next contest that I'm probably going to try and post tomorrow, because I've got it almost all finished. The artist is called Lucy Almay Bird, and she does some very homespun reflections of domestic bliss, very simple drawings. This is all artwork. There's no photography in this. I was looking for something that was pure artwork, because we've had a lot of the digital photography. So I wanted to go with artwork, and this is something that's very this is very simple, very serene, very placid. I think this is very restful stuff. So this is a good precursor to the weird shit I'm going to throw people the neck, and it's time for a female artist anyway. So the next contest is going to be the Simple Serenity of Lucy Almay Bird, and with that, I thank you, Gray, for another wonderful evening of reading and commenting, and may this be the toughest thing you've got to do for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, I got to judge a contest that I'm behind on, so. That'll be the type of thing.
All righty. Hey, thank you, my friend.
Right.
Good night, everyone.
Yeah, love you, Bobby. Have a good night.
Ciao. You too.
Bye.